The following podcast is scheduled for one fall. From the heart of Broadway in historic downtown Cape Girardeau, this is Pro Wrestling Unscripted.
It is Wednesday, October 7th, 2020. And, of course, Wednesday means another episode of Pro Wrestling Unscripted right here on the Podzilla 1985 Network. I will be your host this evening, running things solo. I am, of course, the five-star man, Asa Gray, coming at you here tonight with a little bit of a shorter episode, a smaller episode, not a ton of news hitting this week, at least not that I could find, which, granted, with things going the way they are with me at work, I have less time to really dig in and find stuff. So if there's something that you're itching for me to talk about, if I don't hit it here, I apologize, but let me know what it is so I can look into it, because I like wrestling and I like talking about wrestling. But I feel like this first story I don't really enjoy talking about all that much because it's a bummer and it's stupid, but I feel like we're going to be talking about it a lot in the coming weeks. As the ongoing, we've talked about it before here, but WWE trying to take possession of their superstars' Twitch accounts and take possession of and take the earnings from as well. And just, it's a lot of skeeviness. We talked about this a few weeks ago whenever it first dropped, involving their YouTube channels and Cameo accounts and just things like that. So, but now it has, because originally it was, okay, well, you just can't use your WWE name as part of it. And we saw people like Paige changed her Twitch handle from Paige to her real name. And a couple other people have made similar, they've made similar changes as well. Recently, Austin Creed, Xavier Woods, has changed he didn't change his Twitch handle, but he did change his Instagram and his Twitter handle from Xavier Woods PhD to Austin Creed Wins. So, which in the video he posted includes him saying he did it for no reason, but it's like, okay, we see you out there. But the big development now is that I think it was last week, WWE has said in 4 weeks they will take possession of their accounts. And when they do, any money earned through streaming on Twitch or revenue from YouTube or these third-party sites, will WWE gets a share of that profit, even though they have absolutely nothing to do with the content being put out there. And then the rest that the wrestler gets to keep actually counts towards their downside for their contract. And there was someone on Twitter that did a really great breakdown of explaining what a downside is. And I'm going to do my best to kind of go off of memory because I don't have it pulled up here. But essentially, a downside means that, say, I have signed a contract with WWE with a debt with a $100,000 downside. That means that if it's a 1 year contract with that downside, even if I don't sell any merch, no one wants a five-star man shirt, no one is paying to see me, I get taken off of, you know, I'm not in the main event, I'm barely even on main event, which is going to tie into a line I have later. I'm not on the house shows, like I am doing nothing. So I really only earn $80,000. That means WWE has to cut me a check for $20,000 at the end of the year so that I can meet my downside, that guaranteed money. So, and then he goes on to explain that, oh, but if you have a stellar year and your downside was $100,000, but you actually made $1 million, you don't have to pay them, like WWE, you don't owe WWE that $900,000 difference, but they just don't have to pay you anything extra to make up with it because you already hit that $100,000. So this is saying, say Xavier Woods has a $500,000 downside. I'm pulling that number completely out of my ass, so don't think that's a stretch. That's anything. But he say he only earns $400,000, and then on Twitch, he pulls in $10,000. That means instead of WWE paying him the full $100,000 that's on his downside, they're only paying him $90,000. Because it's like, oh no, but you made money here. You made $10,000. So technically you made $410,000. So we're not going to pay you. We're only going to pay you to get to that $500,000. And it's just, that's so shitty. And part of that, because there was an email that apparently got leaked out, which I couldn't find again. I will admit I didn't search all that hard, but because I thought it would be easier to find, but it doesn't matter. It does also look like that if they do continue to use their Twitch accounts and all of that, and WWE does take it over and then takes a cut of those profits, that it becomes a schedule, and it then becomes a requirement. It's no longer like just a fun thing to do because I have some time. You do have to stream the hours you say you're going to stream, which, adding a certain level of pressure, like, that's part of the reason I haven't set a dedicated schedule yet, is because every once in a while something will come up, or, you know, I had a bad day and I don't feel like being on camera, and I don't want to get frustrated at Mario kicking my ass because I'm terrible at Super Mario Brothers, and I don't want to feel like I'm letting people down by not streaming when I said I was going to, because these are humans, these are people, they have off days, and especially Twitch is supposed to be something that's just kind of fun, and especially for people like this, who it's not their main hustle, it's not their main job, it's just a thing that they do to have fun. And it's just, that's ridiculous that WWE is going to try to come in and do that, especially if they're no longer using their WWE handles, their WWE names. That's just stupid. Also, because, like, I am a Twitch affiliate, and to enter into that program, there are, like, a bunch of rules you have to follow and things you have to agree to. I'm pretty sure, which, granted, I'm nowhere close to partner. Like, I will never become a Twitch partner. But I'm pretty sure for the ones that are, because most of these people are affiliates, you have to be an affiliate to earn money. You have to be. But part of it is, it's like, you can't. I'm pretty sure what WWE wants them to do violates the Twitch terms of service. I'm not super up on it. I don't know the exact letter of it, or if there's exceptions being made that WWE potentially has figured out. This doesn't seem like they're putting a whole lot of thought into it, because if you put a lot of thought into it, I think you would realize immediately what a terrible idea it is. But I don't think, because you can't sell out you can't sell your Twitch account. It's like an MMO. You know, it violates the Blizzard terms of service to sell your World of Warcraft account to somebody else. And Twitch is the same, I don't know. That'll be an interesting thing to do. The most interesting part, though, to me, is there was a tweet that Paige tweeted out earlier this week that was simply, learned a lot about unionism today. And holy crap. If WWE survived Jesse Ventura, which, granted, it was Hulk Hogan that put the knife in that back, in the union debate and the employment status versus independent contractor, but it's Twitch and a bunch of video game nerds that brings about this real change that is desperately needed, that is amazing. I would love that so much. Austin Creed also tweeted out, make it better for the ones that come after you. Something along those lines. Like, it was kind of a vague book type tweet, but holy crap, that is incredible. And like I said, there's still a few weeks to go before that takeover, quote unquote, is supposed to happen. And this is a story that's already updated several times. So I'm willing to bet this isn't the last time we'll talk about it. I'd even bet a dollar that Dalton and I will talk about it next week on Pro Wrestling Unscripted. But ultimately, shame on WWE for doing this and trying to reach into people's pockets like this, for just trying to make a little bit of extra money on the side. Like, it doesn't affect you. This is ignorant. But anyway, moving on from that, today we did get a new round of WWE Performance Center recruits, and the photo is up with them on their website with their property of WWE Performance Center shirts on, which someone on Twitter pointed out that the language of that shirt kind of sounds a little bit more gross now with all of this Twitch and third-party contracting stuff happening. But it's accurate. The WWE clearly sees their superstars as cattle and just money-making devices. But this is a pretty solid class. If you look at some of the people that are in here, there's if you're familiar with Evolve at all, you will know actually the majority of people who were signed. Brandi Lauren, Kurt Stallion, who has done a lot of stuff up in the St. Louis area, especially with Glory Pro. I know for a fact we saw him at Dalton, and I saw him at, I think, both of the Glory Pro shows that we'd been to together. I'm not 100% sure on that, but I think it was. And if you don't know who Kurt Stallion is, you should, because he's awesome. He also does the Luigi flying headbutt, and it's incredible. I don't know how he makes it look good, but he does. Anthony Green, Leon Ruff, who is a former tag team champion with AR Fox. They were the Evolve tag champs for a while. Joe Gacy is another one that is a name that you would probably know between Evolve and just the independent scene as well. So a pretty stacked class. I'm a big fan of a lot of these people, and I'm interested to see what they do, because you've got to think that some of the people with the experience that they have, they'll probably end up on NXT sooner rather than later. But between Gacy, Green, Brandi Lauren joined an already packed NXT women's division now would be great. And Stallion, this is cool. I'm happy for them. If this is what they want to do. And, you know, potentially they're coming in at a time of great change that could be very beneficial to them too. So, but congratulations to all those involved. And we're just bouncing around between bad news, good news, bad news, good news. Glow, Netflix has officially canceled Glow, which was, of course, the retelling of the television show starring Alison Brie, Marc Maron. And this is a bummer. They were supposed to have a new season coming, and it looks like because of delays in production due to COVID-19, the show is no longer happening. It's not getting a final season, and which is a bummer. But on one bright side, there does seem to be a movement among people trying to get it, instead of a full season, maybe just let them do a movie. Let them do a movie to wrap up the show. Marc Maron has an actually hilarious video, because just in the middle of this, him discussing not canceling the show, let him do a 2-hour movie. And then he just immediately loses all focus because of a squirrel climbing a tree. And it's wholesome and adorable and just funny. And Maron is a funny dude to begin with. So there is kind of a hashtag save Glow movement going across Twitter and Instagram and social media. And, you know, it would be cool. I understand seeing a show not get the end that you want it to. I am still desperately holding on for that hashtag 6 seasons in a movie with Community, also featuring Alison Brie. So maybe there's a running theme there. Poor girl. And so I would love to see a Glow movie. I will admit, I'm kind of part of the problem, because I finished the first season, I think, of Glow, but that's about as far as I got, just because so much other stuff has come out since then. But, this is a bummer. It was always one of those things, I'll get to it, but I just never did. So now I kind of want to especially show that, hey, Netflix, people are still watching this. And a movie would be great, a little 2-hour movie. He points out the storyboarding has been done, so they know what they're wanting to do with it. And he also mentions production costs, because instead of bringing in a different director for each season, for each episode, you can have the same director do this 2-hour movie. And there's a lot of, he makes a lot of sense with it. Granted, I'm a moron from Missouri who doesn't have the slightest idea of what it takes to go from transitioning from a television show to a movie, or what the production struggles are in that regard. So maybe I should just be quiet, and I think I will. So, but hashtag save Glow. If you're a fan of the show, you want to see it continue, take to the internet, take to Netflix, let them know that you want to see that show wrap up in a way that it deserves. This is also kind of a bummer story, but not like, it's not a heartbreaking bummer, just kind of unfortunate that things didn't go the way she planned. But on Twitter, Jazz has announced that she is retiring. She was apparently already planning on this being kind of a final run, and with 2020 being her final year in the business. And then COVID happens and all of the shows get canceled. And instead of trying to piece it all back together and pick it back up, she has decided to just announce her retirement. Which, granted, pro wrestling and retirement are almost oxymoronic at this point. They don't go together. So if this is it for Jazz, it's a bummer that she didn't go out how she wanted to. But at the same time, congratulations to her on a great career on top of just some of the work that she was doing specifically with NWA towards the end here. Like she was in the middle of almost a career resurgence, or at least that one final run, like what we're seeing with maybe Ken Shamrock in Impact is how I'd compare it, I guess. Which also, side note, since I mentioned Ken Shamrock, The Rock agreed to film his intro for the Impact Hall of Fame, and I think that's amazing. I love that. That just makes me super happy. I can't remember if we talked about that on the show yet or not. So if we did, I just want to bring it up again, because kudos to The Rock. Let's see. AEW has announced that this year for October, which is, of course, Breast Cancer Awareness Month, instead of partnering with Susan G. Komen like they did last year, instead they will be partnering with two local charities, the first one being Jack's in the Pink, and the second one being Two Titmice Vodka. And there's information that you can go to on the Shop AEW site. If you pull up it's a pink All Elite Wrestling, just it's a very generic AEW shirt. It's the logo it's the AEW logo, but it's in pink and white. And the shop store actually does have a link to each of the two charities that they're working with. And I think kudos to AEW for that. I mean, if it just takes a real quick Google search to see why Susan G. Komen can be described generously as problematic with the way that they conduct business and the way that they spread out the money that gets donated to them and that they earn. So we've talked about that on the show before, I'm sure, in years past, because WWE always works with them. And then again, last year, AEW themselves worked with them as well. So it's a distribution of funds is what I was trying to get to, and that was a phrase that I just could not get into my head. See, usually I can kind of like throw things to someone else while I let my brain catch up to my mouth, and with these solo shows, I don't get to do that. So y'all are getting to see how the sausage is made, and I'm sorry. but yeah, I'm happy that they're doing this and giving this up to two different charities. In very happy news for me, because selfishly I was very sad to see her leave, Renee Young is going to be returning, at least for one night, to work with the WWE. They have announced that she will be returning to host a special kickoff episode, or a special kickoff to what they're calling the second season premiere of Friday Night SmackDown on Fox. So this is going to air 30 minutes before the show. It looks like on Fox, and it will be Renee Young and Booker T doing this preview episode, or this pre-show, which is super cool. I kind of think that I don't know if she'll show up as Renee Young. I wonder if she is going to go under her real name, because of course she switched all of her social media handles to her real name, And it could be interesting, kind of like how, but at the same time, you know, okay, why would she appear under a different name when everyone knows her as Renee Young? It's like Wade Barrett is the new color commentator for NXT, not Stu Bennett. But depending on which link that you go to, it also says that it's her under her real name, and then some say that it's going to be with Renee Young. So I'm going to be curious to see, but it's good to have her back. It's like I said on the episode that we talked about her leaving, I truly do not think that WWE is going to realize what they've lost until she's gone, because she was such an asset to them. Let's see here. Where did my notes go? I lost those already. Nope, there we go. And then that's really it for the news of it. So I will say, well, no, that's not true. I was going to kind of go over TakeOver 31 as well. So, but before I do that, before we get into it, it has been revealed that because after the phenomenal main event between Finn Balor and Kyle O'Reilly, there were speculation and not rumors, but there were reports, I should say, that Kyle O'Reilly had several broken teeth, as well as some potential other injuries, and Finn Balor had multiple facial fractures, potentially even a broken jaw. And that was all coming immediately out of the show. So it was announced today by Finn Balor himself that he does in fact have a broken jaw in two separate places. Yikes. This, if you saw the match, you understand how this could have happened. And it's hard to pick out exactly where, but who? It's the thing that Dalton and I talked about on the last episode we did together. Of, on the one hand, it's damn impressive for them to go through that and continue. Because, like, I'm a baby. If I got in the ring and I, like, got a paper cut or rolled my ankle, I'd be like, nope, I'm out. Tap out. Throw up the X. I'm done. Because I'm a baby. It's true. I have such a low tolerance of pain. There's no way I could do that. So on one level, it's very impressive that these men and women are able to carry on with these terrible injuries and put on a phenomenal match as they do. But at the same time, like, long term, and now that we know, like, what a toll wrestling, just wrestling in general, even if you never have an injury, takes on the body, like, I like... These are people. These are actual human beings. They have a limited shelf life, not just for a career, but in life. And making sure that you can walk and function in life is way more important than in the ring. So it's a complicated thing. There's no right or wrong answer. You know, if you've listened to me on multiple shows, you know that my opinion of it has swayed back and forth time and time just from, you know, what day of the week it is. Because, man, it's like, there's no good answer. But hopefully, I don't know if it was announced because, like I said, I'm recording this as NXT is airing. So I don't know if they're acknowledging it on the show. I hopefully he's not going to have to relinquish the title because, man, that would suck to have just two champions back-to-back have to relinquish the title due to injury. And, you know, this was Finn Balor's first defense. He's barely had it for any time. But, that's nasty. Hopefully he won't have to miss a ton of time. Or, I don't know how much time I don't know. Jaw injuries are... That's, again, just the idea of a broken jaw is just... I can't. Nope, I'm a baby. I don't deal with it. But speaking of NXT TakeOver 31... It, for a show that was kind of seemed like it came out of nowhere, like there wasn't a WWE pay-per-view attached to it. It's not like it was on an anniversary of anything, but so it kind of felt random almost. And maybe it was because I was paying less attention, but it kind of also felt not rushed, but like it didn't seem like there was a ton of time for that between when they announced it and when the event was for them to really really get a story going for anything. But that said, this is one of, and this may be recency bias just because, you know, I did just watch it 5 days ago, but like, this was one of the best takeovers they've ever done. I feel like, I loved the new look for, they're no longer calling it the Performance Center. Oh, what is it? It's the, Capitol Wrestling Center. Thank you, Wikipedia. The Capitol Wrestling Center. And because they added a, it's the Performance Center. It's the NXT layout like normal, but they added chain link fence in front of the plexiglass, which was super cool. So they have the Performance Center people there and potentially actual fans. I never really found that out for certain, but they had people at ringside behind the plexiglass, and they also incorporated the Thunderdome video wall above it. And I just thought that it was a cool look. It looked legit in a way, like the Thunderdome is such a polished professional look to it, and this looked a little bit darker, a little bit grittier. And I thought it was a super cool look. So I hope they kept it up for NXT, and like, this is what it looks like going forward for all of the takeovers and NXT until they start running shows in front of a full crowd again, which at this point is going to be like 2027. But the show itself was stacked. There was not a bad match at all. I wouldn't even say there was a good match on the show. Everything was great. The Damian Priest Johnny Gargano match was awesome. I love that they teased the ring stairs back bump that I hated seeing Damian Priest do the first time, and then they didn't do it. It was Chekhov's gun, but it didn't go off. That match was great. I was surprised to see Gargano lose. Like, I genuinely thought Priest was gonna lose the title there. Kushida versus Velveteen Dream. People were speculating that Kushida bodied him, and it was great. And the after match attack people were saying was a heel turn, but I agree with a lot of the internet of just like, no, doing that to Velveteen Dream does not make you a heel, because Velveteen Dream's also mostly been a heel on TV so far and is the one who instigated this feud. So, but I'm loving this more aggressive, more violent Kushida, and I'm excited to see, curious to see where this takes him from here. Now that he's beaten Dream, I kind of think he may be challenging for one of the titles next. I don't know if it would be the North American Championship, because if they do decide they want to go full heel, because Damian Priest is a full-on babyface at this point, and he's been doing great at it. He could be heel and do the North American Championship, or he could do the tweener thing and still challenge, or he could, you know, and do the same thing against Finn Balor. And either of those matches, I would love to see. The Cruiserweight Championship was defended as Santos Escobar defeated Isaiah Swerve Scott. Another amazing match. I loved this one. I loved, I'm blanking on his name, Ashanti Adonis, I think, kind of coming out and making the save. Like, you had Legado del Fantasma on the outside with the numbers game, and then you see the crowd react and the way the camera's positioned, you can tell someone's coming down, and I assumed it was going to be Breezango, because they're the tag champs and they could kind of do a big gold stable with Legado del Fantasma, but it was Ashanti Adonis instead who helped Swerve fight off the numbers game. And so it was cool to kind of see him get a spotlight. He cut a promo after the match that I thought was really good as well. The finish I thought was unique, of Swerve hitting the back of his head on the exposed turnbuckle screw, or the bolt, the thing that holds the turnbuckle pad in place. I thought that was interesting. They made him look super strong because they made such a big deal on commentary about no one's kicked out of Escobar's finisher, but he did. So this could be the end of the feud. That might have been the blow-off match. I'm not 100% sure, but I'm, again, excited to see where either of these guys go. Io Shirai defended the NXT Women's Championship against Candice LeRae. Again, another great match. I loved this. I am again very surprised that Candice LeRae did not win. Especially when after Johnny Gargano lost, I assumed Candice LeRae would win, at least, because they're doing this whole, you know, they did the heel turns, and they were going on, like, they made such a big deal about the first, how did they put it? When you have all of the belts, your Grand Slam champion, your first Grand Slam couple, because Gargano's held every title in NXT, and LeRae, if she captures the women's championship, then he could have kind of a claim to that as well. And I thought that would actually be super interesting, especially when the referee gets taken out. He runs in with the ref's shirt. And I think it was Barrett said, like, oh, just because you have a referee shirt doesn't mean you're a referee. And that was just immediately flashbacks to Bayley and Sasha when Bayley threw on the referee shirt and counted for Sasha over Asuka. So maybe it does. We don't know. But this was a great match. And I'm not upset that Shirai lost, or I'm sorry, I'm not upset that Shirai won at all, because I'm a huge fan of hers, but I thought it could be interesting to see maybe if she chased LeRae after, but it kind of makes sense, because when you look at what happened after the match, with Toni Storm appearing on the screen, and then not only that, but Ember Moon appearing, making her re-debut on NXT as the mystery person that's been getting the vignettes on NXT TV was super cool. And I watched a little bit of Brian Zane's from Wrestling With Regret, his NXT review, and I agreed with almost everything that he said. The only thing I really disagree with him is he said he thought Ember Moon coming out right after the Toni Storm reveal kind of was like too much, and one took away from the other because, oh, here's this big event. Oh, now there's this other big return, and it's hard to focus on one. And I disagree only because my impression after it was, holy crap, the NXT women's division is now stacked. You've got Shirai as champion, Rhea Ripley, Dakota Kai, Raquel Gonzalez. You've got now Toni Storm. You have Ember Moon. You have Candice LeRae. And it's even if some of these names do end up getting called up to the main roster, this is still a ton of talent left. And I think that was just kind of and it was also kind of a bullet point of, okay, Shirai is champion. You know, when you're champion, you got the target on your back. And now, holy crap, here's these two huge names that are two former champions that are gunning for her. And I just thought that was such a great way of saying, okay, this is what's coming. This is what's next. And then the main event, Finn Balor defending the NXT Championship against Undisputed Era's Kyle O'Reilly. And there's not a lot I can say about this match other than just go watch it. Like, if you're not a network subscriber, this is worth $10 to me. Maybe it's the recency bias. Maybe it's because I just saw it. But, like, this might be my favorite match of the year. Definitely in the top five. Easily. It was a hard-hitting match. It was a very New Japan-style match, strong-style match, as evidenced by one man losing teeth, the other man breaking his jaw in two places on it. And it was so good. It was technical. It was hard-hitting. I loved it. I've since gone back and rewatched it. And if you know me, you know how rarely I do, like, I just go back and pick out a single match just to rewatch, especially so soon after having seen it. So, yeah, match of the night, match of the year. Props to both of them. And please, if you haven't seen it, do yourself a favor, especially if you are a fan of New Japan style, because this was like a G1 classic in the middle of an NXT ring, and I loved it. So that was NXT TakeOver. Again, it was a fantastic show. One of the better ones I think they've done. I won't go as far. I think Zane did the same thing of, like, I won't go as far as to say that it's the first, it's the number one, but it's got to be up there. And that is it. The only other thing I kind of want to touch on is what happened on Raw on Monday, and that we finally got... I don't know if it was the reveal or, because there's still different ways they can play it, But it's going to be, it looks like Mustafa Ali is the man behind Retribution. And I, as much shit as we've given Retribution on this show and on social media and everywhere else, I gotta say, I love that idea. I think it still doesn't fully undo the goofiness of their early weeks and the Tusken Raider celebration with the chainsaw and the ring ropes. It doesn't undo the kind of goofiness of the names, you know, T-Bar, Mace, Retaliation, like those are kind of Slapjack. The names are kind of the doofy. I'm not a huge fan of the masks either, but this kind of lends it with some like credibility. There's a really great thread on Reddit of breaking down like why these people who we know who they are, like why they would have a grievance against WWE. And sure, they signed contracts. Why would WWE sign them? Why would there be a contract? Like there's a lot of, this is one you really just got to turn your brain off and just take it face value. You know, don't dig, just accept it for what's happening. And I think everybody's going to be a lot happier. But I love the idea that Mustafa Ali is behind it, because this is someone who has legitimate gripes against the company. He was in line potentially for a world title program before, against Daniel Bryan, before he got injured and Kofi Mania took over that year. He was allegedly in line to be revealed as the hacker for that weird, those weird vignettes that we were getting on WWE TV. That was supposed to be him, and then he got unceremoniously just moved from SmackDown to Raw randomly one week, and then the hacker was never seen again. He's been the victim of a start and stop booking so consistently that, yeah, it would be frustrating. It's frustrating to see. And over the last few weeks and maybe even months, he's kind of been more passive aggressive on social media about it, on Twitter. He dubbed himself main event Mustafa. And with him joining and leading potentially Retribution, he could easily go from main event Mustafa to main event Mustafa. So I'm very curious to see where this goes. Like, I love it. I gotta phrase this carefully, but like, if it was a different person, if it was a different Muslim person in this role, I would be very worried that WWE would try to lean into kind of a Muhammad Hassan terrorist line, because they're already barely walking the Black Lives Matter Antifa story as it is. But because it is him, and because he has been so vocal about how he refuses to play those characters, because he doesn't want his skin to be the reason a kid is afraid of him, to then go on to be afraid of people who look like him. It's such a great message, and I don't think he would agree to do something like that. Also, that said, if you're listening to this show, you're not the kind of person who would do it, because we love you guys, because you're great. But if you're the type of person who is, oh, he's a bad guy, so I'm immediately going to turn into an Islamophobe. Hey, how about you fucking don't? Like, there's no reason for it. It has no place in the world, much less in wrestling. Like, GTFO, out of here. We don't, it's unnecessary. It's not warranted. It's not deserved. Just sit on that hilarious tweet I'm sure you've got ready to go. But no, we're shutting that down hard. But like I said, y'all are cool. Podzilla fans are awesome. And this is the first time that I've been like legitimately excited to see what comes next with Retribution. So I love Mustafa Ali, and I'm excited to see that he's getting something to sink his teeth into. Hopefully Vince doesn't just change his mind in, you know, 6 weeks and then it's just done. But anyway, that's going to do it for me here tonight. We're keeping it at under an hour. You're welcome. Oh, it still did way longer than I thought it was going to, I'll be completely honest. Terrifying Tanner Thursdays will return tomorrow night. And then, of course, Horse Time on Fridays. I do have one announcement which is I am kind of easing myself back into shows. I did Nerd Up, of course, on Monday with Jesse and Dalton. You can, of course, check that episode at podzilla1985.com or wherever you're listening to this now, because it's all under the Podzilla 1985 feed. I had some personal stuff come up between family and just this is a very stressful time at work, and it will be for the next several weeks as well. So it needed to take a little bit of a break, and I did, but I'm coming back. Did Nerd Up doing this. We'll be back next week with PW, but I am also going to start doing some streaming stuff again. I haven't decided fully if I want to do one Friday night. I may end up doing one for Friday, but I will for sure, and this is for Hunter, I talked to him earlier today, Sunday night, what date is that? Because I don't know dates at all. Sunday night, October 11th, I am going to be streaming Resident Evil 7. It's on Xbox Game Pass. I don't have an excuse. I hate scary games. As I said earlier in this episode, I'm a big old baby, but I'm going to be streaming Resident Evil 7, 7 o'clock Central Time, at twitch.tv/the5starman. That's with the number 5. Also, I am only 12 followers away from 100 followers, which is kind of cool. Doesn't really mean anything, but I like round numbers. So if you're not following me yet, also maybe wait until I am streaming, because I set up the alerts on stream and stuff might actually like pop up. And I know it's the most basic thing in the world, but it took me like an afternoon to get all that set up because I'm stupid and I'm actually really proud of them. So, hey. But yeah, so keep an eye out. Potentially on Friday, I'll put it on Twitter, which of course is the same, the 5-star man at Twitter. I might play maybe some Hades. We'll see. We'll see how I'm feeling. But Sunday for sure, I will be back doing the Resident Evil stream because I hate all of you. and then the 1-2 punch of, oh God, I'm bad at, of my nightmare. I will continue Mario Mondays, on Monday the 12th as well. So yeah, but that's going to do it for me. Of course, podzilla1985.com. We have a subreddit /r/podzilla1985. I said it before, I'll say it again. We have more flares available than we do users. So come get your favorite one, hang out with us there in the Reddit. Of course, Twitter, Facebook, all of those, at Podzilla1985. ProWrestlingTees.com/TheBigD. No, it's not. It's the Dalton Anthony. See, I miss, what, 2 weeks? And I've already lost all of the plugs. It's /DaltonAnthony. I know it is. I'm typing it in, but I know it is. Nothing's loading. Yes, it is. ProWrestlingTees.com/DaltonAnthony. Holy crap. This has really gotten away from me, hasn't it? Pick you up a Dalton shirt, since he's so proud of his PS5 that he was able to buy. He needs money to pay that off, apparently. So, help your boy out. Help out the Big D. And, of course, there, I've already said the 5-star man on Twitch, on Twitter, all that jazz. And podzilla1985.com. Go back and listen to some of the other episodes. Listen when there was more than just me. I promise you'll have a much better time. So I'm going to stop rambling. I'm going to call it out there. We will see you next time right here. And please believe me when I say that you all listening to just any of the shows that we do in general, but specifically, you know, stuff like this where it's just me rambling at you. It really does mean the world to me. So enjoy your week. Be great to one another. And I will talk to you all very, very soon.